Hi, my name is Ben, and I am Emmanuel's executive pastor. We're thankful that you've decided to take advantage of our sermon resources on our website, and we hope that the Lord uses this teaching from His Word to build you up in the faith. Emmanuel's desire is to build a community from all cultures where Christ is King, and to that end, we hope that this teaching is used in your life and in your local church's life to promote Christ's likeness and the glory of God. We would encourage you not to use these teachings as a replacement for involvement in a local church family. We would love for you to be committed to brothers and sisters in the city and state and country where you live. And it's our hope that this teaching would encourage faithfulness on your part towards the body of Christ where you live. And so to that end, we're thankful that you're here, and we do hope that the Lord uses this teaching from His Word to make you more like His dear Son, Jesus Christ.
To Deuteronomy chapter 33, and I don't know about you, but I can hardly believe it that we are one chapter away from the end of the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 33, and just as Andrew and Stephanie are hoping to go to the Middle East to be a blessing, this passage is about Moses, the man of God, blessing the people of God. It's about this great man of God blessing this needy people of God. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 1. This is the blessing with which Moses, the man of God, blessed the people of Israel before his death. He said, "The Lord came from Sinai and dawned from Seir upon us. He shone forth from Mount Paran. He came from the 10,000s of holy ones with flaming fire in his right hand. Yes, he loved his people. All his holy ones were in his hand. So they followed in your steps, receiving direction from you. When Moses commanded us a law as a possession for the assembly of Jacob, thus the Lord became king in Jeshurun. When the heads of the people were gathered, all the tribes of Israel together." And then he begins to go through the tribes of Israel. "Let Reuben live and not die, and let his men be few, but let his men be few. And this he said of Judah, 'Hear, O Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him to his people. With your hand contend for him to be a help against his adversaries.' And of Levi he said, 'Give to Levi your Thummim and your Urim to your godly one, whom you tested at Massah, with whom you quarreled at the waters of Meribah, who said of his father and mother, I regard them not. He disowned his brothers and ignored his children, for they observed your word and kept your covenant. They shall teach Jacob your rules and Israel your law. They shall put incense before you and whole burnt offerings on your altar. Bless, O Lord, his substance, and accept the work of his hands. Crush the loins of his adversaries, of those who hate him, that they not rise not again. Of Benjamin he said, the beloved of the Lord dwells in safety. The high God surrounds him all day long and dwells between his shoulders. And of Joseph he said, blessed by the Lord be his land, with the choicest gifts of heaven above and of the deep that crouches beneath, with the choicest fruit of the sun and the rich yield of the months, with the finest produce of the ancient mountains and the abundance of the everlasting hills, with the best gifts of the earth and its fullness, and the favor of him who dwells in the bush. May these rest on the head of Joseph, on the pate of him who is prince among his brothers. A firstborn bull, he has majesty, and his horns are the horns of a wild ox. With them he shall gore the peoples, all of them, to the ends of the earth. They are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. And of Zebulun he said, rejoice, Zebulun, if you are going out, and Issachar in your tents. They shall call peoples to their mountain. There they offer right sacrifices, for they draw from the abundance of the seas and the hidden treasures of the sand. And of Gad, he said, Blessed be he who enlarges Gad. Gad crouches like a lion. He tears off arm and scalp. He chose the best of the land for himself, and there a commander's portion was reserved. And he came with the heads of the people, with Israel. He executed the justice of the Lord and his judgments for Israel. And of Dan, he said, Dan is a lion's cub that leaps from Bashan. And of Naphtali, he said, O Naphtali, sated with favor and full of the blessing of the Lord, possess the lake and the south. And of Asher, he said, most blessed be the sons of Asher. Let him be the favorite of his brothers, and let him dip his foot in oil. Your bars shall be iron and bronze, and as your days, so shall your strength be. There is none like God, O Jeshurun, again, Jeshurun, this pet name for Israel, who rides through the heavens to your help, through the skies in his majesty. The eternal place is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he thrust out the enemy before you and said, destroy. So Israel lived in safety. Jacob lived alone in a land of grain and wine, whose heavens drop down dew. Happy are you, O Israel. Who is like you? People saved by the Lord, the shield of your help, and the sword of your triumph. Your enemies shall come fawning to you, and you shall tread upon their backs. This is the word of the Lord. Father, would you come now with the power of your Holy Spirit to equip your people for the mission you've called each and every one of us to? Thrill us with your love, with your perfect providence, and Lord, commission us to take the gospel to the nations. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Andrew and Stephanie are going to the Middle East to be a blessing. But blessing is one of those words we really don't even understand. Some Bible words have vanished. You're not going to sit around the water cooler at work and just break out into a conversation about propitiation or justification. Not usually going to happen. But there are some words you're going to hear anywhere. God, prayer, blessing. But those words that we hear all the time that haven't vanished, they're usually not understood. So what is blessing? What does it mean to be a blessing, to be blessed, for God to bless us? And if I were to summarize all the ways the Bible uses the word blessing, it probably would be something like this. To be blessed by God is to be under his life-giving smile. To be blessed by God in the Old Testament is to be given and full of his benefits. To be blessed by God in the New Testament is something akin to being happy. It's being in such a good state before God that it produces a happiness. And you put all this together, and there's this idea, just when you're blessed by God, you are under his life-giving smile. When you're blessing somebody else, they experience from you the life-giving smile of God. When you talk about blessing, though, people sort of immediately are like, well, this is not a very weighty sermon. This is a sermon on blessing, so it sort of like has leprechaun status. It's just something like cool and trite and neat, but not something weighty and mighty. But the biblical idea of blessing is not anything that could be compared to pixie dust or to some little happiness that can come into our lives. Biblical blessing includes physical blessing. Prosperity can be God's blessing. And in a world overrun by poverty, that is no small thing. Biblical blessing can include spiritual wealth. David says that you're blessed when God doesn't count your sins against you. Biblical blessing includes eternal wealth. Blessed are the meek, they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the poor in heart, they will see God. So when we talk about blessing, we're talking about little tastes of the good life here on earth. We're talking about spiritual well-being before God. We're talking about eternal well-being in heaven. And we're talking about personal spiritual wealth. Jesus tells people who are persecuted that they are blessed and they should rejoice and be glad because their reward in heaven is great. So we're talking about the most eternal riches you could ever imagine when we talk about blessing. And so it's nothing trite to say that you've been blessed to be a blessing. Like that's a big thing to say, that you've been blessed with whatever material resources you've been given, with the forgiveness of sins, with the hope of eternal life, with rewards in heaven. You've been blessed, if you know Christ, so you can shine the smile of God on other people. And there's three wonderful things about blessing I want to see in this passage. This passage, of course, is obviously about blessing. Moses, the man of God, verse 1, blessed the people of Israel before his death. That's what's happening in the entire chapter. Moses, who in so many ways brought a curse against Israel through the law, now before he dies, wants to make sure that they know God's heart towards them, a heart of blessing, and he blesses the people. Three things that we can learn about blessing from this passage. First, imperfect and sinful people can be a really big blessing. You maybe need this point more than you know. Imperfect and sinful people can be a tremendous blessing. One of the biggest obstacles you face with Christians to encouraging them to serve others is they just think they're worthless. And nothing I could do that would really help. That's for the big people in church history. That's for the big ones. That's for the preachers and the missionaries. But the message of the Bible is clear that imperfect, sinful people can be a massive blessing. When Moses gave this blessing, he was about to die under the discipline of God for his disobedience. That's the blesser in this passage. Look at that in verse 32, the last section of chapter 32, right before as we're warming up to chapter 3 and the blessing. It says, "In that very day, the Lord spoke to Moses, go up this mountain of Abiram, Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab opposite Jericho, and view the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel for a possession, and die on that mountain." One of the most curious commands in all the Bible. Why don't you go up that mountain and die? "And die on the mountain which you go up and be gathered to your people as Aaron your brother died in Mount Hor and was gathered to his people because you broke faith with me." This wasn't a misdemeanor, beloved. Moses, earlier in his ministry, had been told to give the people water from a rock by simply speaking to the rock, and in frustration and anger and bitterness, he beat the rock 2 times, absolutely dishonoring the Lord. "Because you broke faith with me in the midst of the people at the waters of Meribah, Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin, and before you did not treat me as holy." Did not treat me as holy. "In the midst of the people of Israel, for you shall see the land before you, but you shall not go there into the land that I am giving to the people of Israel." So here's Moses. His ministry is capped. He is not going to get the blessing of going to the promised land. He is going to die with a shadow over his life, a shadow of discipline over his life. And we're not talking about that general discipline where God makes life hard to kind of grow you. We're talking like a specific sin was still casting a long shadow over Moses' specific life. And everyone knew it was because his disobedience that he was disciplined and going to die. And he stands up with confidence and starts blessing everybody. Where did he learn this? Where did he learn this, that an imperfect, sinful person could be a blessing from God? He learned it at the very start of his ministry. When God said to him, "You're going to take Israel to the promised land." He said, "Who are you?" God said, "I'm Yahweh." Moses said, "Who am I? I'll take care of you." Moses said, "I can't speak. I made your tongue." Moses started his ministry telling God why he could not be a blessing, arguing with God to the point where he made God mad. And then Moses spent the rest of his life being the blessing God had promised him he'd be. And now at the end of his life, even though he has sinned, he is made a blessing by God. And beloved, it's always been that way. Jonah, go preach mercy to Nineveh. No, I'm going to Spain. I hate Nineveh. Also, you know, God spanks him with a whale swallowing and spits him out and sends him to Nineveh and just bathes Nineveh in mercy. Made Jonah a blessing in spite of his disobedience. Peter says, if everybody leaves you, Lord, I won't leave you. And then Peter caves at the voice of a schoolgirl. A young lady walks up to Peter. Are you with the Nazarene? Can't even hold his own against someone of much lower social status than him. He just caves, withers. A couple months later, Jesus uses him to save 3,000 people. And then he decides, you know, if all the books of the Bible I'll have Peter write, I think I'll have him write the book on helping people stand firm in suffering. 1 Peter. God uses imperfect, sinful people to bless others. Have you disqualified yourself from being a major blessing? Have you decided that a past battle, a past sin, or a current difficulty makes it so that you are not able to be used mightily by God? You are believing the lies of the devil. Because the truth of God is, he loves to give mercy and grace to his people and use them to be a blessing, even when the shadow of discipline is cast over their lives. Maybe God is disciplining you for something right now. But if you will humble yourself before him and just say, Lord, I am guilty. I did do that wrong, and I did need this discipline. He will mightily use you to bless others. You don't need to be the perfect one. There's been a perfect one. That's what we're celebrating at Christmas. And since he's been the perfect one, he can use you to minister his perfect blessings. God uses imperfect and sinful people to be a blessing. Quick little missions application. We've asked people to pray over this month, would God send me? And even if he doesn't send you, he should send you across the street to your neighbor, even if he doesn't send you across the world. One of the number one things keeps people off the mission field is not that they're not radical enough. It's they don't believe that God could use someone like them to be a blessing. But you know what happens when you meet missionaries who've been on the field 10, 20, 30, 40 years? The first thing they want to tell you, we're just really normal people. We're just really imperfect people, just like you. God moved us overseas to be a blessing. Don't let your weakness or your imperfection or even a sin you've stumbled into lower your eyes in terms of what you might expect God could do in your life. Second thing is that God doesn't bless everybody the same way. Ooh, this is one that goes deep. You got to get this. In fact, I would say that many, many Christians live with far less joy than they should because they haven't got a hold of this truth. They get the cross. It just seems that because of the cross, God's made everybody's life better than theirs. And it's really important to understand God doesn't bless everyone the same way. Look at a few of these blessings. 12 tribes are blessed here. There's actually 11 tribes blessed here. If you're really a careful Bible scholar, you notice Simeon was missing. Probably he was engrafted into Judah early in the life of Israel. So we get 11 tribes blessed here. First tribe, Reuben. Verse 6, let Reuben live and not die. He gets life. That's a good blessing. And let his men be few. That's fun. You're going to be like the Rhode Island of Israel forever. Notice there's nobody here from Rhode Island. Anyway, and this he said of Judah, verse 7. Hear, O Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him to his people. With your hand, contend for him, and be a help against his adversaries. So Judah's going to get help in battle. That's good. Numbers 2:9 tells us it's because Judah would always be at the front of the battle. Why do I always have to be at the front of the battle? Levi, he said, give Levi your Thummim and your Urim, which were basically these prophetic stones that were worn in the high priest's breastplate that really discerned the will of God in difficult situations. So you want the will of God? You got to go to Levi. Some people get to be Levi. Levi gets to lead in worship. In teaching, verse 10, they shall teach Jacob your rules and Israel your law. Levi gets to lead in worship, verse 10 again. They shall put incense before you and whole burnt offerings on your altar. So these guys get to be in on the good spiritual stuff all the time. Teaching, discerning the will of God, leading in worship, that's Levi. Nobody else gets that. And you know what land Levi got? None. He didn't get any land. Can you imagine you're sitting there leading in worship, going, but I didn't get any land? Benjamin, he said, the beloved of the Lord, this is verse 12, the beloved of the Lord dwells in safety. The high God surrounds him all day long and dwells between his shoulders. So Benjamin is safe. Can you imagine being Judah? I'm always at the front of the battle. Benjamin's always safe. I could go on. It goes like this to all 12 of them. Joseph gets blessed, but one of his children, notice this in verse 17, one of Joseph's children, there's the 10,000 of Ephraim. That's cool. And they are the thousands of Manasseh. It's like, you know, brothers are competitive, right? Things weren't that different in the ancient Near East. And he's like, hey, you big brother, you're going to get, or little brother actually, 10,000. You, other brother, you're just going to have 1,000. And so everybody's getting blessed. No tribe is denied a blessing. There's not one tribe that does not get blessed. They are all blessed. Not the same way. It's exactly the same way it is with us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in terms of spiritual gifts, the Spirit apportions to each one according to his will. Do all speak in tongues? Nope. Do all teach? Nope. I want the leadership gift. No, you didn't get it. I want something supernatural. No, I just want you studying. You have the gift of knowledge. And none of us have any control over the gifts we get. You can ask. The Lord encourages us to ask. You can ask. And if he says yes, go for whatever he gives you. But sometimes he says no. And there can be tremendous tendencies towards jealousy in that. Some people can say, oh, I'm just an eye, I'm useless. Other some people can say, you're an eye, you're useless. We've all been blessed, every one of us blessed. Not the same. Not blessed the same. Not blessed the same in terms of our testimony. Jesus says to Peter, you're going to die on a cross. And Peter looks around and says, what about John? Jesus says, don't worry about John. Can you imagine? You get told you're going to be crucified. Yeah, you want, hey, are these guys going to get crucified too? You want everything to be even. God doesn't do everything even. He does something better than even. He has particular surgical love for each and every one of his children. When you go see a surgeon at the hospital, they say, what's wrong? You say, I don't know what's wrong. I just want a surgery. I hear you're doing surgeries, and I want to make sure I get one too. No, you only want the surgery that deals with what ails you. And that's what you get from God. He's way too good to do kicky-cutter blessings. He's way too wise. He's way too holy and wonderful to each of us. He knows who needs cancer and who needs health. He knows who needs tongues and who needs knowledge. He knows who needs the discerning of spirits and who doesn't. He knows who needs to live to 30 and who needs to live to 80. He knows who needs infertility and who needs children. He knows all of that. He blesses us according to our genders. It's not an accident if you are a man made a man. It's not an accident if you're a woman made a woman. I'm just going to tell you this, beloved. A massive step. A massive step in spiritual growth is accepting who God made you. And not trying to be who you wanted to be. But laboring to be all that God wants you to be with what He gave you. Some of you got 40 free hours a week. Use it! Some of you have 4 minutes. Use it. Contentedly. None of us orchestrate the circumstances, the testimony, the giftings, or the length, or the gender, or the hairs on our heads of our lives. But all of us can say, you are wiser than me. And I want to be a blessing, and I want to take what you've given as a blessing. Last point. The blessings of Jesus are way better than what's happening here in Deuteronomy 33. Way better. Everything in Deuteronomy 33, with the exception maybe of Levi, everything is physical and earthly. Every bit of it. It's all physical and earthly. It's all land and stuff and military victory. It's the kind of stuff politicians promise. Long life, healthy land, prosperity. It's all the good stuff of this life. Look at Asher in verse 24. Most blessed be of the sons be Asher. Let him be the favorite of his brothers. Let him dip his foot in oil. In the Middle East, it was an amazing thing to get to anoint yourself with oil, like having a little lotion in your bag in the desert. Asher is going to be able to like do foot baths in oil. He's going to be wealthy. Naphtali, verse 23, full of the blessing of the Lord, possess the lake in the south. So he gets the southern region. There's a lake country. Where I grew up, the only lake is like cooling down a coal mine. You know? But if you're from Michigan, there's 10,000 lakes. Different people get different stuff. Gad is interesting. Actually, no, I want to read Zebulun, verse 19. They shall call peoples to their mountain. They shall offer right sacrifices, for they draw from the abundance of the seas and the hidden treasures of the sand. You're kind of like seas and sand. What's that about? Well, with seas, you get all the produce of the sea, fish. You get the dye that comes from shells. You get the glass that comes from sand. It's all physical and earthly. Every last bit of it is physical and earthly. And you know what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3? He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That's way better. God has blessed. Now, God blesses some believers with sand and sea and safety and oil. Nothing wrong with material blessings. We're not trying to deprecate them and say they're bad. But they just point to something better that every believer has. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has blessed us in Christ, not with everything earthly, with everything physical and earthly, but everything spiritual and heavenly. Beloved, every single believer has been chosen by God, redeemed by Christ's blood, sealed by Christ's Spirit, adopted by God the Father, loved since before the foundation of the earth. All of us have every one of these spiritual blessings. Moses lines up Israel and says, you're going to have good land, and you're going to have physical prosperity, and you're going to have military victory. And to the people of God, he lines them up Sunday after Sunday and says, everything you could ever want spiritually is already yours. And he actually doesn't bless any of us differently that way. Nobody's a little more elect than anyone else. No one's a little more redeemed. No one is a little more adopted. No one is a little more sealed. But all of God's people have been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And lastly, Moses blessed one nation with 12 tribes. Jesus blesses every tribe and tongue and nation. Moses lines up 12 tribes in one little tiny piece of land by the Mediterranean. Jesus says, go therefore into all the world and make disciples. And you know why he said that? He said that because of a promise made before Moses was ever born. He made a promise to Abraham. In you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. If you go to Galatians chapter 3 this afternoon, what you'll read is that that blessing to all the nations is the gospel itself. That God, preaching the gospel in advance, said to Abraham, all the nations of the earth will be blessed in you. They will all be justified by faith. So, beloved, could you ever take the gospel to other people? Could you ever be like Moses? Not over one nation, but taking the gospel to the nations? Could you do that with your neighbor in Louisville, or could you be moved to have different neighbors? Don't say not me, because he uses imperfect, sinful people to bless others. Don't say I don't have the right blessings. No, rather find the way your blessings fit into God's kingdom purposes and be happy with that. Happy with what he's given you to bless others. And then finally, remember that the scope of it all. Jesus is not content to bless one little piece of land on the edge of the Mediterranean. He wants a people from every tribe and tongue and nation blessed in him. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you so much for your grace. We thank you for the mercy of the cross through which you bless every tribe and tongue and nation. Lord God, we want to ask you and plead with you that you would make us a blessing, like overcome any opposition in our minds, overcome every lie of the devil that would keep us from the bold proclamation of the gospel. Lord God, make us content with our blessings. Lord, if you've given us the resources and the health and the energy and the opportunity to go overseas, Lord, send us. And Lord, if you've closed those doors, satisfy us. And help us to play our part financially, prayerfully, and here at home. And Lord God, we pray that you would just make our heart beat with a desire to see you praised and blessed among every tribe and tongue and nation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.